Well, I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text I'm focusing on today is the reading from Hebrews, where we heard this encouragement. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Hospitality. I think most of us are familiar with the word and the concept, and most of us probably have an idea of what we would see hospitality to be, particularly good hospitality. See, hospitality is big business these days. We even have a hospitality industry where the focus is on food and beverages and accommodation. You probably get that up here in the Barossa. In Australia, there was a 48% increase in staffing in the hospitality industry between 2001 and 2019, from around 625,000 workers to 924,000. And then COVID hit, and that number went back to around 650,000. But it's bounced back since then, and currently there's around 958,000 workers in the hospitality industry. And as the industry has grown, the quality of the service has generally improved. When you go out to dinner these days, or if you spend a night at a hotel or motel, you've got certain expectations about the quality of the service you're going to receive. And you're likely to get pretty cranky if those expectations are not met. So hospitality these days in the 21st century revolves around payment provided for a service that is rendered. We heard the word hospitality in our Hebrews reading, but what does it mean for us as Christians to show hospitality? What does that look like? Can we agree that it's a bit different than payment provided for the services that we might render? I hope we can agree on that. We Lutherans obviously think we're pretty good when it comes to hospitality. The National Church Life Survey, we list it as our number one gift, and by a long way. And for good reason. We Lutherans have a certain reputation when it comes to hospitality. You don't go to a Lutheran function and expect to run out of food. If you did, then heads would roll, and sorry ladies, but it would likely be the chair of the Ladies Guild that would get the chop. It would be recorded in the congregation minutes for all time, and years later people would be heard to say, "Do you remember the day when we ran out of mornay?" Now, I like a slice of kuchen as much as the next person, but strictly speaking, putting on a meal at church is not necessarily the biblical definition of hospitality. It could be, but not usually. We heard the definition in our Hebrews reading, but it might have been hard to hear it because of the translation. Because at the heart of hospitality is the way that we demonstrate love and to who. In the words I read at the start of the message, the author spoke of two types of love that he encourages the community to display as a community of faith, and that is Philadelphia and Philoxenia. Now, here's your Greek lesson for today, and I know that you're all hanging out for a Greek lesson as you came to church today. So both words have phileo at their root, which is one of the Greek words for love. They're being called to love both Adelphia and Xenia, which clears it up for you. Philadelphia is literally the love of a brother or a sister. In other words, it's the love that's displayed in a family, familiar love. In a family of faith, it's the call to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a comfortable kind of love, generally, that's demonstrated among those who are familiar to you. That's what we're doing. Generally, when we have our Lutheran meals with the curried egg sandwiches and the jelly cakes, and the Hebrews author would encourage us in that. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. But this on its own is not, strictly speaking, hospitality. Hospitality is philoxenia, and a xenos is not a brand of photocopier, it's a xenos is a stranger. Philoxenia is the love of strangers. So the Hebrews writer says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and don't forget to show love to strangers, hospitality to strangers. Because true hospitality is the love of strangers. And it's not an either or with this love we're to show. The first kind of love comes to us pretty naturally and easily. And I've seen this love on display as I've moved about the district in my role. I think we cover that pretty well as Lutheran Christians. The second kind of love, well, that's a bit riskier, isn't it? It's not as familiar or comfortable or easy to do. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're not generally covering that too well as Lutheran Christians. In the National Church Life Survey, we listed the top things that we value as Lutheran Christians. Not surprisingly, at the top of the list was the Lord's Supper, followed by preaching the Word. Our two lowest values are openness to social and cultural diversity, those who are different to us, and reaching those who don't attend church, those who are separate to us. And I have been wondering in recent times, I wonder how Jesus would fill out a National Church Life Survey. I wonder what he would list his top values to be. So I asked a couple of groups, but one of the groups in particular I asked was a group of young people at the district-wide youth camp last year, Novo. I got them to pretend that they were Jesus. They were happy to do that. And I got them to fill out the survey of the values and list their top values as to what they think Jesus would put. And they listed as his number one value, reaching those who don't attend church. Now, you could say that was a hypothetical exercise, but was it? Because we see the values of Jesus as we hear the gospel accounts, don't we? And we heard something about his values in our gospel reading today. Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they invite you in return and would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Now, it sounds like Jesus is presenting an either-or scenario here, doesn't it? Placing philoxenia above Philadelphia. But I think he's emphasizing the one because it's so natural for us to do the other. But at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of the gospel, is the call to love the stranger. God himself has enacted that love to us. Because let's not forget, we were estranged to him. We had distanced ourselves from him. We had excluded him from our lives. So he drew near to us when the word Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You find Jesus demonstrating his love for the stranger in his every word and action that we encounter in the gospel accounts. And the love of the stranger is far more than having a stranger over to your place for a meal. Could be that, but it could be you going to the house of a stranger to eat the meal they set before you, to enjoy the love that they show to you. See, as far as I can recall from my reading of the gospel accounts, there's no record of Jesus having anyone over at his place for a meal. True? The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, but there's plenty of times where he ate and drank in the homes of others. When Jesus sent out the 72, he told them to go to the homes of others and to eat what was set before them. Because the love of a stranger, it's a risky kind of love, because we're called to make ourselves vulnerable. It comes at a cost that's far more than financial. It turned out to be pretty risky for Jesus to become flesh and make his dwelling among us. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You see, God still loves the world and everyone in it. And he calls us to be a gift to the world. He wants us to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But he wants us not to forget to love the stranger. That same word for not forgetting, it's also used in Luke 12, where Jesus declares that not one sparrow is forgotten by God. And there was a sparrow in here earlier, not sure. I said to God before the sermon, I'd love for you to make the sparrow appear at this point in the sermon, but then you'd really be freaked out, wouldn't you? As we engage in this risky, vulnerable love, we can be confident that this is precisely the kind of love to the stranger that God is still demonstrating to this day. I had a very powerful reminder of that earlier this year, back in February, where I was at a congregation to run a pre-call meeting. Before the pre-call meeting, I ran a couple of services in the morning, their early service and their later service. The pre-call meeting was going to happen after the second service. So the first service, very light on. You could swing a cat. Ah, here we are. Thank you. You missed it by that much. Come on. All good. So anyway, the first service, very light on. But I did notice that about two-thirds of the way back on the left-hand side, there was a man. He looked to be in his 50s. And he just didn't look like he fitted in a Lutheran context. He would have been more comfortable as a bouncer at a nightclub than in a Lutheran pew. But during the course of the sermon, he was just sobbing his heart out. He was just racked with what seemed to be inconsolable grief. Now, he didn't come up to communion, and he was gone by the end of the service. As I was greeting people at the door, I asked about this fella, and they said, yeah, sorry, never seen him before with that. By the time the service ended, by the time I'd finished greeting people at the door, he actually came back, and there was a fair bit of time before the next service, and he asked if we could chat. So I sat at the back of the church with him and had a best part of an hour to talk with him, and he shared his life story. He had a pretty rough upbringing, brought up in the church, not the Lutheran church, ended up in an orphanage. He was a bouncer at nightclubs and strip clubs over the years. The day before, his wife of 30 years had died, and he was heartbroken. So this morning, he got up, got in his car, and stopped at the first church he came to and walked in the door and sat down. The text I was preaching on that day was Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those of you who weep now, for you will laugh. You can't tell me that God didn't have his hand over that encounter. I told the fella that I was literally here today, gone tomorrow. This wasn't my congregation. But I did know that the congregation had people on site during the week. So I said, if you need, come back. He came back. And the people there surrounded him with their love and encouragement. The congregation ended up hosting the funeral for his wife, and they did the Lutheran thing by putting on a morning tea for that very eclectic mix of people who gathered there that day. They showed hospitality, love to the stranger. I received a text from him a little under a month ago. He wrote, "I've been an infrequent attender at the church recently, and I really enjoy my time there." We have a God who is actively seeking the stranger, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. He's actively seeking the hurting, the broken, and the lost. And that's what he's calling each of us to do, individually and corporately as his church. Now, you have been through a long period of transition as the Southern Barossa churches, and some of you are getting a little frustrated with that. I know, because I've ploughed through all the surveys that you've put together. There's still much to be sorted out, and yeah, I'll be referring to that after the service. But park that for a moment. Put all that aside, because the Lord of the church, Jesus, is still present and active in your communities of faith and in the broader community you find yourself in. He's continuing to embrace you with his love, and he wants you to embrace each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and he wants you to embrace the stranger, those estranged to him out there in the community. So in the time ahead, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And don't forget to show love to the strangers, because you will continue to encounter the presence of your loving Lord as you do. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.